more great shows at pride48.com.
You are so proud of that joke. You had that goofiest grin on your face. Speaking of goofy grin, we're going to leave YouTube behind. Good night, YouTube.
I'm muted. So, yeah, good night, video, anybody who's on Twitter or YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna end that shit right now.
Gonna end that shit right now. Gonna end that shit right now. I'm going to end that shit right now. I have to tinkle. But there was a really big topic that I didn't even throw on the Trello until halfway through the show, and then I wrote it down. It's that little bottom one over on the potential thing there. But I have news about my job, but I'm going to tell you it when I get back from pee.
Something happened. I feel like we were only streaming for 15 minutes video, so we probably were saying we were not saying goodbye to anyone. Because it looks like we were already off the streams. I don't know what happened, but I came in late, as you all know, and I didn't have time to check everything. So it is going to be a pain in the butt to edit this video. Maybe we'll just put out the audio this week. Be like, ah, screw it. We're just doing audio. Doing audio. We're just doing audio. I wonder if my boyfriend is back. He should be home by now. But my dog is still laying by me, and she normally greets him when he gets home. Yeah, he's here. I hear him. He's making food, I think. But since Daniel has gone to pee, I won't go down to greet him.
Sydney, what are you doing?
Whatever you're trying to do, go on, stop. Yeah, Daniel may have some exciting news about his job. I don't know if he talked about it on this show.
Sydney, what are you doing on?
I'm going to go say hello to my boyfriend.
Okay.
Boyfriend. Who just got back and give him the dog because she's still up here with me.
Is that a euphemism? You're going to give him the dog?
I'm going to give him Sydney. And I'll be back.
I'll be back.
That was my amazing Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I've won many awards for it. By the way, I don't think the internet is clear. The action of driving the boat is probably most often called piloting the boat. You may also hear people say steering the boat, navigating the boat, or a lesser known conning the boat. The person who pilots a boat, however, is called a helmsman, a coxswain, or a steersman. Just wanted to let you know. And knowing is, 48-52% of the battle. So I guess they were all right. So, all right. Terry from Tom and Terry said he found this. Paul Armstrong's, this is published on August 19th, 2024. Paul Armstrong's sudden passing leaves Washington, D.C. community mourning a beloved figure. The sudden death of Paul Armstrong left Washington, D.C. community in deep mourning. Paul, who passed away yesterday morning, was known for his vibrant spirit, infectious laughter, and a deep love for his family. His unexpected passing has left a significant void in the lives of those who knew and loved him. The man of many passions, blah, blah, blah. Continue to live for his rest in peace, Paul Armstrong. You'll be dearly missed. What is this, though? SAS Project? Local? Also, this is not like a, it's not like a newspaper. This is like a local news site or something. It's crazy.
Well, somebody, like they were saying, somebody has to write an obituary for you when you die.
Yeah.
So maybe Warren didn't want to or didn't feel comfortable, or because I don't know, how does he have it? Well, he has his twin brother.
I think he was already dead, though.
Oh, was his twin brother
already
dead?
I don't know. Honestly, is Gary still here? Gary would know more than I. I don't know.
I thought they were married.
I would like for you.
I may have said husband incorrectly. I thought for some reason I thought they were married. Maybe they were just boyfriends.
Help me write my obituary. I want it to highlight my career.
I don't really need an obituary.
Medical.
Like
IT and my passion of podcasting and Disney.
When I die, I just want to like ride off into the sunset, and I don't need any funeral. I don't need any obituaries.
Ask
Nobody needs to donate anything to charity in my name. I'll be dead. I'm not going to care about any of that.
Would like ask me as many questions as you would like to make sure you know about me for this purpose. All right. It's going to ask me some questions. How long have I worked in healthcare IT, and what specific roles or projects are you most proud of? Ugh, boring. What drew you to podcasting, and how long have you been involved in it? Are there any particular themes or episodes that stand out as highlights? Yeah, Archer Radio 1056.
Well, anything from 2010, Daniel.
Listen to this.
On steroids, I think takes away. I don't know. Like, I see it just the opposite, which maybe that's just semantics, but it seems to me like the iPad is what they were working towards all along, but they just released the iPhone first.
It was like, called the Newton.
Well, I
see
it is just,
see?
You know, I laid in bed Sunday night watching a movie.
That was 2010 Daniel there. He's just like going like, yeah, Larry, it's called the Newton. We all know about it. You're just talking a lot of shit. Yeah. You're just like the fucking Newton, Larry. Quit trying to act like you're Steve Jobs' ambassador from God. Just actually, at this point, Jobs was still alive, right? So quit trying to pretend like you like personally talked to Steve Jobs. It's called the Newton.
Movie from Netflix on the iPad, which you can't do on a laptop. Well, you can, but you have to have it plugged in and, you know, whatever.
What do you mean you have to have it? I could do that on my laptop all the time.
Yeah,
I stream stuff on Netflix.
It like sucks up the battery to have full screen video on your laptop for 2 hours, you know?
And that's what I was going to ask. Have you?
It sucks the battery to have video on your laptop for 2 hours? I mean, well, I guess the iPads really are good at power. I mean, because like when my flight up to your place and back from your place, I think neither one used more than like 30% battery. And that's all I did for 5 hours was watch my iPad, like a TV show on it.
Yeah. No, it's the battery life on an iPad is good. For sure.
Yeah. 2010 Daniel, though, he was a star.
You sounded a little bit younger.
Yeah. I mean,
you were
younger. Probably, yeah, 15 years younger.
You sounded
15 years. I would have been 42. I would have been younger.
So you would have been younger than I am now. 4 years younger than I am now.
Yeah.
In 2010.
Yeah, because I'm 57 now, 15 years. Yeah, 42. I would have been 42.
In 2010, I would have been, let's see, that's 14 years ago. So 30. I would have been 32.
Adam and Maddie. Yeah, Adam and Maddie was definitely already, I had already done Callbox 7. I don't know why, because I was introduced as the host of Wowcall. I wasn't introduced as the host of Dubious Intent. So I think this was when Dubious Intent ended, when Alden and Anne ended it, but before you and I decided to resurrect.
When they mutinied?
Yeah. Because wasn't there like a year period there where neither one of us did a show, and then we decided to, I was doing alcohol and you were just not doing anything.
Could be. Oh, I mean, I know I wasn't because I had, you know, I wasn't doing geeky gay on the regular back then. And Adam and Maddie show had ended. So I know I was not doing anything. We probably started talking about it when Pride 48 came around.
Oh yeah,
or
it was
something.
Probably, yeah.
And it was probably something like that.
Cause I was also doing Live It Up with Wes. Remember I did alcohol and Live It Up at the same time. And that was all I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I think you and I reformed to do Dubious Intent before a live streaming weekend. Because we did one of our first shows was in Vegas. Like one of our first shows was in the Luxor. That was 2010, right? Wasn't that Vegas 2010?
I don't think the original dates will be on these, but let's see if they are. Because
there was a Pride 48 2009 and 2010. What was our first year in Vegas? 2011, maybe?
I have it on the wall over there, but I never remember.
Yeah, I have to go to backup. Oh, did I not move it onto this computer? Pride 48.
Oh, I don't have dates on these, so I can't tell you.
Those are this most recent.
When I moved them over, the older ones do not have dates.
Remember this? Oh, shit. Remember this? Jesus
Christ. Remember what? What?
Don't you remember it?
Nothing has played.
I know. I don't understand what's going on. These are the projects. Oh, okay. It's a project file, not the recording. Got it. Whew. I was just like, that's so weird. Promo. Do you remember this, Adam? No, you don't. You don't remember that. Yes, that one.
Well, howdy, folks. Dust off them calendars, because September 15th through the 17th, y'all got to be at Pride48.com. We're settling up for our grand finale. Join us and explore the rich tapestry of our community with a heap of eclectic LGBTQ and LGBTQ-friendly podcasts from the full Pride 48 stable. This here's your last chance to be part of this hootenanny. Looking for more info? Well, just mosey on over to the Pride 48 website for all the juicy details. Don't forget now, September 15th to the 17th. Only at Pride48.com.
So who voiced that? Was that Gary?
Yeah, that was Gary. Lest it be missed, though, remember, Big Fatty, I'm going to predict in 6 days, 7 days, Big Fatty will use a snippet from this.
Good day, esteemed listeners. Pray, mark your diaries for the 15th to the 17th of September, for you shall want to be in attendance at Pride48.com. We cordially invite you to our grand denouement, the 15th, and indeed final annual podcasting gala. Join us as we traverse the kaleidoscope of our community, featuring delightful LGBTQ and LGBTQ-friendly podcasts from the illustrious Pride 48 lineup, as well as a few surprises. It's your last opportunity to be part of this extraordinary event. Should you desire further particulars, visit the Pride 48 website. Don't forget, dear listener, September 15th to the 17th. Don't miss your opportunity to partake in this splendid celebration only at Pride48.com.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the thing there. So I don't have the archives of Pride 48 on this computer. I have them on an external drive.
Well, there you go. So you were going to talk about your job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
I don't think you've mentioned that
I don't know that. No, I haven't. All right. So here's what's happening. I was approached by the sales department that there was a position opened up in there that would be particularly suited to my knowledge base or whatever because of how long I've been with the company and with what I do with other stuff. And it basically in a nutshell, the job is to be a tech evangelist for the sales department. So basically making sure that the stuff that they quote to clients is the right hardware, that it's, you know, that they understand, you know, the specs and what they're going to quote the client is correct. Maintaining demo systems, doing demos for clients on about our networking systems and our hosted systems and stuff like that, stuff that would be too technical for a salesperson to do. So that's the kind of job that it is. And it's the same salary as I make now, but because it's in the sales department, I end up being a part of their commission structure, which is team based. So it's just the entire sales department gets a percentage of sales. So that actually ends up being like an extra $45,000 a year, anywhere from $45,000 to $60,000 a year on top of my current salary. So it's like, that was kind of hard to turn down. And when I was up visiting you, I asked you about it because my concerns at that point were, you know, if my current boss tries to counter that offer, then I would feel like I would stick out like a sore thumb on like every report because I would have been, you know, they can't just pay me $50,000 more because it doesn't fit in with my job title or anything like that. And Rodan was actually suggesting, is like, well, if they do try to count it, they'll probably have to do a title change or something to put you into a different category.
Right.
And this particular job that I have interviewed for, it's got manager in the title. It is a manager, although you don't manage anyone, but that's how they're able to classify it. Anyway, Daniel, don't you get a bonus? So we don't have guaranteed bonuses. That's Adam. Adam works for a very large company.
I don't have a guaranteed bonus. We just
always
get a bonus.
Yeah. The entire time that I've ever been at my company, our bonuses are usually just one extra paycheck. So like just one, whatever your normal paycheck would be, like you're going to get an extra one of those.
My bonuses are...
Yeah, your bonuses are big. Yeah, like mine have never been more than $5,000. Like my bonuses have never ever been more than $5,000.
I don't know if that's just a spit valve factory thing or like other companies have these as well. But
I think
like
it's a big company because Kathy
substantial.
Kathy used to work for Microsoft. I know in big companies like bonuses are a huge thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to 30% of your salary or something.
Yeah, there's no, yeah. So I work for smaller companies and this one, you're just like, so I guess maybe at Yale we had something. I don't even know what we had at Yale. But I didn't ever get like a big, huge chunk of change at the end of the year. But anyway. I don't want to answer these questions. I don't want it to write my...
Well, you don't have to.
Obituary.
That's the thing. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Daniel. Close it.
So anyway, finish your story. Like, so you applied.
Oh yeah. So I'm sorry.
You decided to apply.
I was halfway through.
You must have talked to your boss.
So I got home from your trip, and the sales guy hit me up, and he's like, "Hey, we gotta post this publicly." Have you applied yet for this job? And I was like, no, I haven't. I was on a trip to Arkansas. I was just waiting till I got back. So I did. So I applied with like the dumbest, the shittiest resume ever, because I'm never ever looking for other jobs. So I just had the resume that when I started there. Right? So I just added some shit to the resume from when I got hired by Greenway. So I didn't have a lot of stuff that was relevant to their job. And so I'm like, I'm going to get screwed over on this. But they said, talent contacted me and said, hey, you know, can you do an interview on this day? And it was like, it was this past Monday. So this past Monday, I did an interview with Greg in sales, and it was a 30-minute interview. It was scheduled for 30 minutes, but it ended up going like an hour and 10 because he just had more questions and we were, you know.
You brought 2010 Daniel with you.
That's right. So yeah, it was a 2010 Daniel interview, let me tell you. And so he pretty much said, you know, I there's one other strong candidate who's external, and the thing that I really like about, you know, you being an internal hire is that you already know how the company works. You already know who to talk to get things done, and you've worked with a lot of them. So it's like you already kind of have those in, you know, those internal relationships, and you have understanding of, you know, our stuff. And he's like, but I have to do a couple other interviews, and there may be a second round interview and stuff like that. So I don't have the job yet. I feel like I had a good interview.
It sounds to me like a perfect job for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Because you're going to probably be on call, sales calls, and you love to talk to people.
Hell yeah.
You love to explain technical stuff.
Yeah.
You love teaching people how to do technical things. Yeah, you like setting all that stuff. Like, all of that seems like, and, you know, extra money every year. I don't see why that would not be a good thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the moment, Zach's job is being stupid about the Disney thing. And if he were to move to full-time at Disney and drop his other job, it would be like a $20,000 a year hit. Like, you know, so it'd be about $20,000 a year less that we would be bringing in. So I was like, oh, well, if I get this job, that's going to be at least 40,000 more. So that kind of wipes that out. So then, yeah, just go ahead and do it. Just, you know, screw them. Just quit and see about getting full-time at Disney. Because he doesn't want to work for the other company. His job, his ultimate goal is to work at Disney full-time. So it's like,
yeah,
go, then just go ahead and do it and, you know, see where you want to go. So, but I still don't have the job. But I was also thinking today, it's like, yeah, it's $20,000 a year hit, but we went.
So did you talk to your boss?
Yeah. Oh, so the thing is like when you.
Because you were worried about talking to your boss. So
now I had already told my boss that I had been talked about, you know, that someone had mentioned this job, you know, that sales had reached out to me about this job. And what I was asking him at the time back then was like, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's a great job. I think it's, I'd really do well at it, but I also, you know, we have projects going here. You know, is there any way we could do, you know, that I could do both, you know? Because the project that I'm working on in my current department is something I've been working on for, you know, 8 months. I'd really like to see it finished, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. However, when I talk to the salespeople about that, they're like, you know, there have been multiple people, you know, that we brought in the department that still have like some projects that they still work on, and that's, we can work around that. Like, you know, we can split time where you can work on that project for a couple hours.
Right. Did you mention that you're a famous podcaster and that you're experienced on the microphone? And
so, yeah, well, the interview started by him going like, are those Behringers? Are those Behr Dynamics? He was asking about my headphones. He's like, are those Behr Dynamics? And I was just like, oh yeah, they're the 770 DTs. Ah, yeah, cool, man. I have the 790 DT. I'm a bit of an audiophile. And he's like, what's that microphone? And so I had the whole, you know, like, it's a Heil, and Bob Heil was the sound engineer for the Grateful Dead. You know, the whole, you know, you get to, you know, get that whole story out. So that's how the interview started, right? We kind of like bonded. The other thing that I'm not mentioning here is that my brother works in this department. So, you know, my brother has been advocating, you know, that was where all this came from, you know, the suggestion and stuff. So
is your brother a salesman?
he's in the same position. He's in the same category as this kind of job where you're a support for the sales department. So Rodney does demos of our software for the salespeople. Like the salespeople go out and make the cold calls and they do the, you know, finding people that are interested and gets them to show up at a demo. And then Rodney.
Are the salespeople the attractive ones?
Yes. And then Rodney.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly. Then Rodney comes in and does the demo, right? He knows the software and he can do the demo. So it's like, and then, you know, everybody takes a piece of the commission or whatever. And so that's how that works. So it's like, but he's in, so I would be working in the same department as him, but I wouldn't be working for him or, you know, with him.
I have to attend these meetings where companies demo their product for us.
Yeah.
Products for us. I hate this so much.
But wouldn't it be awesome if it was me? I would make it better.
But it's not because, it's because they all have expectations that they're going to reel in the big company. You know, it's going to be their meal ticket and whatever. And they're very, oh, you get a million emails afterwards. Oh, how can we follow up? Do you want to do a POC? Yeah. Do we want to, what metrics would you like to hit with this? Whatever. How can we help? Oh, it's like, oh my God. No, we don't have time. We don't really need your software.
So I wouldn't be doing any of that.
But
I wouldn't be doing it. I would just be, I don't even travel to do it. I'm just doing technical demos about our hosting system for, and am on hand to answer technical questions. So, you know, that's more of that kind of thing. I'm sure our salespeople do harass and whatever, but just, I don't have to do that. I don't actually have to sell anything. That's not my.
I think that would be a good job for me as well. I mean, a very similar role.
Yeah.
Because I'm also technical. I also am good at talking to people.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't want to do the high pressure sales stuff.
Right.
But I would answer questions and demo things all day long.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
hell yeah. Also, then I don't have to take it home with me. Like I don't have to take home programming problems with me and like wake up at 2 a.m. and go, oh, wait, I just figured out how I could do that, you know, and then go and have to write code. It's like, this is more like, I'm just going to podcast, basically. I'm going to sit on a Teams call and, you know.
Because I know some of those technical sales folks, after the sale is made, they stay with it for a while and make sure that the people get the company gets the software set up and running correctly and all that. Would that also be part of the?
Interestingly enough, that's the department that Zach works in. That's not sales. That's professional services. But
So it would not be you.
No.
So someone else would take over and actually land the plane, so to speak.
Yes, I'm in the sales department period. So once sales makes the sale, we're done with it. It goes to professional services.
Oh.
So, and they have their own people.
Those roles, you might get late night calls or weird.
Oh yeah. I won't
pressure stuff. Cause they're like, oh my God, this is not working. You guys need to fix it immediately. We just paid millions of dollars for your software, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, I would.
What's your SLA for support?
No, I would only get involved in that. It would only ever come to me if I had like promised something that was, you know, like, hey, said that it would do this. And it was just like, you know, and I actually did, which I would never do that. So
I had a meeting with a guy today. He just wanted to like meet because I don't really know for sure. But I feel like he wanted, you know, he's just trying to network.
Yeah.
And I'm in, you know, I don't know.
So what did he wanted lunch?
He wants to, no, just a Zoom call. He just wanted to like get to know me better and like, you know, shoot the shit. Tell me about what he's working on and, you know, and he's like, is there any way that I can help you? You know, is there any problems you guys are trying to solve that I can help with? I'm like, He's trying to like sneak his way into my department or something, but I don't hire. So occasionally.
It doesn't matter. You know, people that do.
That's true. Occasionally I interview folks, but not very often anymore.
Anyway, yeah. People have a really outsized view of what my job is at my company, because when we do departmental wide things, it's usually my emails that are, you know, scheduling it and stuff. Cause I set them up technically. Like, I don't do anything other than just set up the technical parts of the meetings, but because I need to be the administrator of the meeting, the invite comes from me. So it's like, I've been on calls before where they're just like, no, I don't, you know, I don't think it's an access thing because it was, Daniel couldn't get to it either. And I would imagine if anyone would have access, it would be him. It's just like, wait,
well,
what
2010
you,
Daniel. 2010 Daniel,
yeah.
And, sure.
Yeah. He would have had access for sure. But yeah, no.
I don't know.
It's my like point Nico, is, it's just like, saying. Just because I see my name on emails, they think, oh, he must. So it's like sometimes, you know, people don't even know what you do. They just know that you're known and they want to also network. And so you're going to attract people like that.
Oh,
was he cute?
He wasn't bad looking.
There you go. I think
he lives in, well, I don't know. Like, well, this is going to sound racist. And there's no way around it.
Okay.
But
I'm braced.
I have to, but are you attracted to Indian guys?
Yeah, I mean,
because he's Indian, okay. But I thought he was attractive. But there's like, you know,
I have
I
no
thought he was
yeah.
attractive.
I have no racial hangups. There's not a race that I would
well,
not.
I thought he was attractive, but no. Well, I had reached out to him. So I was trying. I am trying to collect some data on
Wait,
how long.
That's
it
not
takes.
True. That's not true. There is one race that I will never date. The Ists.
See what I did there? See what I did there?
The racist. See what I did there?
But isn't everybody a little bit racist?
Everyone's a little bit racist today.
I had reached out to him randomly.
Yeah.
Because
oh, so you started
I saw,
it.
Well, because I saw him in a chat room asking questions about testing.
Okay.
And I was trying to collect some data from folks, like how long do you spend, blah, 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 doing whatever. And so I had messaged a bunch of people because I was needing some data. And so then he was like, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. I've been wanting to, like, I'm really interested in testing. And I know you're like the product manager and, you know,
you're
the
Mr.
famous
Test.
Product manager for
you're
like,
Mr. Testing.
Testing or whatever.
Yeah.
And could we have a chat or whatever? But I think... He's like, I'm very interested in testing and I'm very interested in the kind
cool.
of stuff that you guys do on your team and like all that kind of stuff.
And yeah, he's just looking to get into the,
to
the thing.
I want to be like, I hate testing.
That, I mean, like, that's what, yeah, that's how I ended up working at that AM radio station at, you know, when I was in high school or over the summer was, you know, I mean, granted the general manager of the radio station is a very small radio station, WPLA. So for Plant City, it was an AM 970 WPLA. So the station manager was a patient of my dad. So like he knew my family. But yeah, I came in and interviewed with him there, you know, for this intern position over the summer. And he's like, well, we don't really have an intern position, whatever, but you're welcome to hang out here. And so I did. I would hang out. I would go and I would hang out and do this. And then I don't remember how long it was. I don't feel like it was that long, but it was probably a month or two of hanging around in the station at night when they were doing the Larry King show. Because I was very much a night owl, so I was always hanging around the station at night. And the guy that ran the overnight was going to leave. He was going to another job. And so they didn't have anyone to do overnight. And I'm like, I know how to do it. I can do it. And it's like, let me do it. And so yeah, for that summer, I got to do, that was my only radio job, my only paid radio job ever. But at 910 WPLA, I got paid minimum wage.
I was going to say, what did radio pay back then? $2 an hour.
Like. So my gig, and I know I've talked about this before, but my entire gig, because the Larry King show came in via satellite. So my entire gig was to turn the channel on the mixer with the satellite feed, turn it up. Right. And then there was a sheet. You had a sheet and it had different time cues on it. And there were also audible cues coming from the satellite feed. So the satellite feed would go doodle. And then that was your cue that to play local commercials. So you would like pull the satellite feed down and then play the commercials that were charted to go. And then at the top of the hour, you brought in AP News, right? So you just, you brought up the AP News feed for 5 minutes, that it was set out that way. And then you went back to the Larry King show. But then only at the top of the hour, there would be like a 10-second local slot where you could, you know, Bay Area weather, partly cloudy and mild. You're listening to AM 910 WPLA. You know, it's like a little tag like that. So that was like, I got to speak, you know, I got to, So I had to figure out how to say things in 10 seconds. You know, because you had this little 10 seconds and then boom, and then blah, blah.
Man, have you forgotten that skill?
Yes.
It just went away.
I showed you my 5 minute Friday video that I did, which was only 4 minutes and 40 seconds long. But I showed you that. And it was stupid. It was my first attempt, so I didn't expect it to be great, but I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't edited it so much that it made no sense. Because raw footage wise, that was like 20 minutes of me talking and retalking and saying things. And I have it's over here, it's on my tripod. I have a fucking teleprompter. So it was like I was reading the teleprompter and still fucking it up. There were like entire 5 minutes of me trying to say like similarly. I was just like, and just screaming like a madman.
But, I've not really recorded video for anything like that, but I did a training video and I did audio. And yeah, I would just, clap like when I messed up or whatever, I would like clap when I was starting over, and I just kept it running.
Yeah.
And I just kept recording until I got
everything. That's what I'm saying. My raw footage. So, yeah, it was crazy. And just endless editing. And then you'd get the piece edited. Good night, Tom and Terry. You get the piece edited, Tom. And then you realize that, oh, that was the one that has another mistake in it. And there was another take after that. And it's just like, yeah, so it was really. Anyway, that's not important, because if I get this other job, then I won't be doing that 5 minute Friday thing anyway, which was kind of one of my kind of concerns, was like, wait, so for the very first time in my life, I'm getting paid to do like little entertainment bits.
Good night, Auntie Scott. They're dropping like flies.
They're dropping like flies. Good night.
I mean, Kathy Marshall and Lamont and Tim are still here. So that,
I think Tim is high. Lamont Cranston. You think is Tim asleep. Is high? Yeah, he was going to smoke pot earlier, I thought.
Oh.
And then Lamont Cranston is asleep, and then Kathy Marshall is there and awake. So I think it's
she is the. We can always depend on Kathy Marshall, except when she's not here. It's always sad when, Nico's here as well. He's just not listening.
Oh, that's right. Nico is.
He's not in the show audio. He must be listening to Tune In or something.
Yeah. To the delayed audio.
To the delayed audio. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's not too high. He's working with some new art supplies about today for making a cano type.
What is a canotype?
Hold on. Let me figure this out. Not too high. I'm working with some new art supplies I bought today, making a canotype. Why do I keep thinking that if I just keep repeating it, it's suddenly going to make sense? It's a canotype. No, a canotype. Yeah. I love that with some salt.
Canotype.
Nico is there.
It's a photographic process developed by Henry Fox Talbot in the 1830s. The term canotype might be a misspelling or a confusion with callotype.
Yeah. Well, what is it? It's a photography? He's working.
The callotype process involves creating a negative image on paper coated with silver iodide. This negative can then be used to produce multiple positive prints by contact printing onto other paper coated with silver chloride.
Oh, cyanotype.
Oh, cyanotype.
Yeah. Think the cyan color.
What is cyano?
Oh, so the color of blueprints, that particular blue, that cyan blue on blueprints.
A cyanotype is a photographic printing process that produces a cyan blue print. It was invented by Sir John Herschel in 1842. The process is simple and was historically used for reproducing diagrams, plans, and notes, which is why blueprints are traditionally blue.
And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is 48 to 52%. Let's see.
The only one I ever remember, I don't know if you remember this, but G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I remember that.
They used to have these little messages at the end of an episode.
Yep.
It'd be like, don't get in white vans, children.
Right. Yeah.
And they had one. It's the one that I remember where they told you don't hide in old abandoned refrigerators.
Yes.
Because you could get locked in. I'm like, right. Well, first of all, just makes where sense. Am I going to find an old abandoned refrigerator?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to get in one? I mean, that just seems like a random thing to tell children not to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, kids, don't hide in refrigerators. Like, who was hiding in refrigerators at this time? Was that a widespread national problem?
Ollie, Ollie, I'm so free!
Hey, where's John?
What's all the excitement?
Wakanda! We can't find John. He was heading that way.
Oh, no.
Is he hiding in the refrigerator?
Check that old
refrigerator. Thanks, Wakanda.
Remember, never get in anything that could close up and trap you.
Like an old trunk or an abandoned refrigerator. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, I remember exactly. I nice. Remembered it, that it was a refrigerator. I didn't know it was Wakanda or Wakanda. What's his name? Kondo? Kondo.
I think Hondo. It was Rakondo.
Hondo, I think is his name, maybe.
I remember this one. I remember this one from Sesame Street.
I didn't really like G.I. Joe. Though.
No, this was an old Batman one, but I remember this from Sesame Street.
So. Man and Robin will have a tough time finding this hideout.
You certainly are smart, Penguin.
Besides, that window gives us a view of the only road up here.
You certainly are smart, Penguin.
All right, you feathered fiend, it's all over.
Batman! Robin! You're the lookout! Why didn't you warn us they were coming up the road?
I didn't see them.
He's right, Penguin. The glass in this window is dirty, therefore your man couldn't see through it. Had it been clean like this, he could have seen us and warned you wrongdoers of our approach.
Clean and dirty? Of course! How stupid of me to forget that!
You certainly are smart, Batman.
There you go.
Batman took the time to clean the windows in Penguin's lair. Because
was that like a
cartoon? Yeah, it was all,
knowing is half the battle.
Yeah,
sort
yeah.
of.
That
like,
was Sesame
remember,
Street.
You
was,
need
yeah.
to clean your windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever.
I like to watch Republican rallies and stuff.
Yes.
And listen to Republican people call in on C-SPAN. And San Francisco, they have a boner for San Francisco like you cannot believe. Like they consider it to be a valid criticism to just say, look at where San Francisco is. We don't want the rest of the world to be like that. And I'm like, oh my God. And they always talk about crime. Like the crime in San Francisco is out of control. And Kamala Harris, well, they always call her Kamala, or Camilla or Carmela.
Kamala.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Kamala is
yeah,
correct.
It's, no, it is.
They say Kamala.
Kamala. Yes, Kamala. And I spend most of my days when I'm watching these things and listening to these things, every time they say it wrong, me going, Kamala. Anyway, but my point is it must be huge crime, right? So I asked the internet to tell me the top 10 cities for violent crime in 2024. Do you want to guess, Adam, where San Francisco fits on the top 10 cities for violent crime in the United States.
I mean, I have no clue, but because you're bringing this up, it's either very low or not on the list at all.
It is one of those things.
Number 11.
I don't know where it's not on the list. So it is not one of the top 10 cities. In fact, only one of the top 10 cities for violent crime is in California, and that's number 10, Stockton, California. The number one city for crime. Do you want to take any guess? Oh, you wait. There's 10 of them, and I've already told you Stockton. So there's 9 left. Where would you think? What would be a city that you definitely think would be a violent crime rampant?
New York.
Not on the list.
Oh, really? Okay, Detroit.
Detroit. Number one on the list. Detroit, Michigan.
Maybe Chicago.
Chicago. Not on the list.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Like I said, there was only one California, and that was Stockton. So no.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Dallas. I mean, what ranks as a city?
Dallas is not on the list. Or I'll tell you the rest of them. Memphis, Tennessee is number 2. Baltimore, Maryland. No, Birmingham, Alabama is number 3. Baltimore, Maryland, number 4. St. Louis, Missouri, number 5. Kansas City, Missouri, number 6. Cleveland, Ohio, number 7. Little Rock, Arkansas, number 8. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, number 9, and Stockton, California, number 10. So these cities are consistently ranked among the most dangerous in the country due to high rates of violent crimes such as homicide, assault, and robbery. St. Louis, Memphis, and Detroit in particular have been near the top of such lists for several years, largely due to economic challenges and social issues exacerbating crime rates.
And I go to St. Louis once a month. But
number 5 on the list. Zach's friends that just came down. We had dinner with them last night because they just came down to go to Disney, and so we went to dinner with them last night. By the way, I said this in pre-show before you were here. Zach got a 40% discount on our dinner with his cast member. Like that's pretty nice. That's 40% off dinner. That's nice.
Now you won't eat at home ever. You'll just eat at Disney every day.
No, I have 3 pounds of bacon.
Disney is cheaper than eating at home.
3 pounds of bacon in the other room. I also have my 55-cent Pop-Tarts in the other room. By the way,
if you had an egg, you could have an egg, some strips of bacon, and a Pop-Tart, and that would be a balanced breakfast.
No, it wouldn't. Oh. How is that balanced? Balanced by whom?
The sugar group, the meat group, and the egg group. Those are the groups.
I try to check the front door before I get it downstairs. Oh, yeah, because you're in San Francisco, a very dangerous place. Nico says 3 pounds. Nico, why are you so convinced that this bacon is expired?
Is there mold?
No, there's not mold. Why would you think it would be expired? They don't want their cast members to get sick. That costs them money.
Well, there has to be a reason that they're selling it.
It's just because they buy it in huge quantities, and then they're going to use it for the day. And whatever's, you know, now it's the day. They didn't use this bacon, so let's wrap it. You know, let's see if we can sell it. And they refrigerate it and sell it.
You know, you paid more for the bacon than they charge for the chair or the dresser.
Yeah, but that's because it's 3 pounds of bacon. So the other thing, the thing about Cast Connection is, yes, you could buy a dresser from a hotel room or, you know, a mirror from a hotel room, whatever, for very cheap. But you have to move it yourself. You have to, you know, transport it yourself. These dressers are so heavy. I mean, these are solid, you know, they're made for commercial hotel rooms, right? They're made for, you know, people to throw their kids up on them and have them tap dancing on it and stuff. So like they are the thickest, most solid wood things that you've ever seen. And they weigh, they're like lead. I mean, they're just like insanely heavy. But, you know, they're solid, but they are insanely heavy. There's a couple of TikTok accounts of people that
so they're
go to Cast Connections every couple of days and kind of make little TikToks of what's there. So I should have an idea when there's fixtures or plates. What I really want are plates. I really want dinner plates. So if they update dinner plates in a restaurant, sometimes they'll have the plates will have the restaurant logo on them and stuff. And, you know, like, so I would love to get like some plates from like the Animal Kingdom Lodge or stuff.
We used to have an associate store.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we still do. I never went. I went like once or twice.
But see, there was a lot of stuff in this Cast Connection. It was like there was shirts, there were hoodies, there were, you know, spirit jerseys, there were merchandise, there was Christmas ornaments, there was plates and cups. And oh yeah, one of the things out in the main kind of, you know, not merchandise that they sell, but like in the so like they don't sell cabinets and stuff like that. That's why they're, you know, cheap, or they just want to get rid of them. But the there was rocks glasses. Do you know what a rocks glass is? That little half height glass from a bar.
I can picture a glass like
so
that.
If you went in and ordered like a whiskey on the rocks, it would mm-hmm. basically be a little glass. You know, it's not a shot glass. It's bigger than that. But you mainly put ice in it and then you pour an ounce of, you know, an ounce or two of alcohol in. They had those for 25 cents a piece, no limit. Out, they just had these entire racks of these rocks glasses. So it's just like, oh, they're going to have plates coming through here. They're going to have, you know, glasses and stuff like that. So.
I'm saying you guys are just going to be, you think you're Disney-fied now. Everything in your house is going to be Disney. Even if it doesn't say Disney on it, it'll be furniture from Disney.
Well, I found out that the house across from us, like, so it's across mm-hmm. the street, but you can see it from our sliding glass doors, is an Airbnb. I found the listing for it and I kind of assumed it was because I kept seeing different cars there all the time and like families, like these really big families, and they were all different big families. And I was just like, what the hell's going on? Where are there always like these big families there? So it's like a 4-bedroom house with a pool or whatever that's on Airbnb for like $125 a night or something like that. So, but you know, we're close to Disney and stuff. So it rents out quite a lot. But, I mean, it hasn't caused any trouble or anything. But I was asking Zach tonight, I was like, if we had a private pool, would you use it? And because I was thinking, because I was reading the listing in this Airbnb, and they were basically saying, you know, you're renting the whole house. The owner doesn't live there. You know, there is a service that cleans the pool and handles the chemicals. So if there's a problem with the pool, you know, call that company. Don't call them, you know, other things like that. And I was like going like, oh, so this is just a rental property for somebody, like income property for somebody. It's like, I could contact them because the contact information's there. It's just like, hey, I'm your neighbor. It's like I'll clean your pool and do the chemicals and everything for free if you just let me use your pool when nobody's at the house. Like, you know, if I can just use the pool, it's like, I'm right across the street and, like, oh, that'd be cool. Then I don't have to pay for a pool and shit. But I don't have to go down to the community pool, which closes at dusk. You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes I want to swim when it's dark out. I don't want people to see me swimming. I want to swim when it's dark out. So
I also prefer to swim when it's dark.
Yeah, I like looking up at the stars at the campground.
But our pool, there's not a. It never closes.
Yeah. Oh.
They just say they're quiet hours from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. So if you choose to swim, you must be quiet during those times. But there's it doesn't officially close.
In the state of Florida, any pool that does not have a lifeguard has to close at dusk.
I don't guess we have that law in Arkansas because...
And it's one of those things where it's like most hotels and everything don't enforce it. They're like, they'll lock the gates and stuff. But if you can jump the gates or like unlock them and go in, it's like, they're not going to come out and throw you out of pool as long as you're being quiet. But it is, you know, against federal, I mean, state law or whatever. But because it's the homeowner association and they can get sued or whatever, you know, and we have big locked gates all the way around it. So they just lock at dusk. So they're, it's like, and we do have video surveillance.
We have, I mean, there is a gate or there's like a door and then there's a fence all the way around it. And we have little key fobs.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have. Yeah, little key fobs.
So we can go in. But Mark and I use the pool at most like once a year because I say, you know, we have that pool. We should use it. And so we use it once, and then that's recording our one time for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, I don't want to actually pay for a pool or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I would love to go on a nice summer evening. I would love to go, you know, if there's a pool. Like the other night, when my sister called, right? It's like, hey, yeah, we're up at the lake, and it's a gorgeous night. We're going to go out, you know, on a little sunset ride. Do you want to go? And it's like, you know, so I just popped over there and went. It's like, that's lovely. I was actually really thinking, I was kind of toying around when I was up visiting you about, you know, a Sea-Doo or whatever, like a personal watercraft. But, you know, definitely if I get this job, maybe I'll get me a little Sea-Doo,
You mentioned that. This is the second or third time you've mentioned that. So
I just really like
being out. You must really be thinking about a Sea-Doo. Yeah,
I really like being out on the water. I think it's very peaceful. It's very nice to be out on the water. And I don't want a big boat or anything like that.
A big boat that you have to drive.
Right. Pilot.
Pilot.
How about a kayak? Yeah, I mean, I could get a kayak.
If it's big, wouldn't it be a ship?
Yeah. I could get a kayak, of course. Yes, I know, but that's not as sexy as a Sea-Doo. So, no, I could get a kayak, and I could absolutely go over to my sister's lake house anytime that they're there and basically just paddle out. Or even when they're not there, I could go over there and just, you know, paddle out on the lake, and that would be great. It's a gorgeous little lake. I have a picture to share to the chat room. Oh. Let me do this. So, I know it was very, so I was out there, doing the thing, taking the pictures and, doing the stuff that you do, you know what I'm saying? And, I have this picture. I think I have to download it.
Nico says you could get a pool boy. Granted, W Bo Pool would need to find different duties for him. I don't know what W Bo Pool. Was that supposed to be without?
Without. No.
Well, then in that case, it's not a pool boy. It's a house boy. And you have them clean.
Can I drop this picture in here? Yes, I can. So this was taken on the back of the boat right after sunset. Kind of a little pano shot there of it. But the actual sunset, let's see, that one wasn't very good. This one. Yeah, here's the actual sunset. So this was the actual sunset that night. So yeah, I could get a kayak and I could go out there. Or I was also thinking I'd get like a John boat, you know, like a smaller aluminum boat that would just fit in the back of the truck, you know, like with a detachable engine, you know, like a little 9-horsepower engine or something. I could do that. Because that way Zach could go too, right? Like you'd have a little engine. But yeah, I could do kayak. I know that Darwin has a kayak. And so we could, you know, he was talking about going out kayaking because Rodan doesn't do that. And I was like, well, yeah, we could get kayaks. We could do that. Anyway.
Now I'm curious to know if we still have an associate store, but I don't know how to.
Yeah, you just want to get 3 pounds of bacon for $25.
No, I was just curious if it was still open. Because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything about it.
The thing I regret the most is not buying the fries.
But Google says there is one that opens at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Definitely, I think the next time I'm going to buy some fries. Because I have an air fryer, so I can make the fries here. And then they have the chicken strips, you know, chicken nuggets that you get in the Disney restaurants. The, you know, the counter service restaurants, they have those. Oh, cheese. Oh, my God, cheese.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, stop. Six, cheese. It's the cheese.
$6 for 2 pounds of cheddar cheese that is already sliced, like 2 pounds of sliced cheddar cheese for $6.
Really? I feel like they could. What is this, like, charity for the people that work at Disney or something? Because the food they should be able to use in their restaurants, unless it's gone bad or going
bad. No, it's not gone bad. It's not going bad. They just, I don't know how they decide what goes there, but this is what.
Is the cheese in that store the cheese from under Mickey's foreskin?
No, no. It's the same cheese that they would use. No, it's the same cheese they would use in their restaurants on Disney property. They also have short ribs, you know, like ribs, and they have the pork loins that I've already mentioned. And then the chicken nuggets and the pork loins. And I think, what was the other thing that I saw there? It was like, oh, I think we just shop here every week. We should just get dinner. Because, you know, with Zach working in the evening over at Disney, I've just been eating hamburgers every night. That's all I have. Every night I just have a hamburger when he's at work. So it's like, oh, this I buy bacon and cheese. Like, look at that. I'm set up for a hamburger, Adam. I'm set up for a hamburger.
Bacon, I mean, all they cheese. Need now is some ground meat of some sort.
They also had like onions and stuff. They had like a little bit of produce and stuff. It was nice. It was like, I was like, oh, this is a nice place. But there's a room where the more valuable stuff is, and it was closed. It's called like Mickey's.
They didn't trust you?
No. I mean, it has shorter hours than the main store. So.
Well, you have something to look forward to next time you go back. Maybe you can see the special merchandise store, shop or whatever.
But I mean, there's not much more valuable than pre-cooked bacon, Kathy Marshall, but yeah, that's what I'm told. I'm told when I mean valuable stuff, like premium merchandise, like most of the merchandise that was out in the Sarah area that we were was like Wish. Remember the movie Wish? Like they have so much Wish merchandise. It's like, do you want a Wish doll or a Wish plate or a Wish, tchotchke or whatever? They got those coming out their butts. So it's that area out in the main area is kind of like merchandise that just didn't sell well.
There's a song in a Disney movie. It says, you want a thing? We've got plenty.
Yeah. That's
or whatever. Mermaid, is that
Thingamabobs? I got 20.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
But who cares? No big deal. I want more. Oh, by the way, Disney Parks TikTok account today. Do you have TikTok? Nico, do you have TikTok?
I do have TikTok, okay. But I don't use
TikTok.
Okay,
but I'm trying to tell you. This is essential for our trip to the Oogie Boogie Bash, Disney Parks. So if you just search for Disney Parks in TikTok, you can follow their account. But the Disney Parks posted the newest villain that's going to be at Oogie Boogie Bash this year. I think last year it was Sid, right? Wasn't Sid from Toy Story was the villain last year that showed up on top of the regular ones? But yes, if you go to the Disney Parks TikTok account, I think I can just give you the link to it. Did you already find it?
How much water I normally drink in a day? How much?
Okay, did you find it? I hear music. So that's why I'm asking. But here,
well,
here, I will play the sound for you so that you know what it is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Hans Doofenshmirtz, the greatest evil genius of all time. A platypus? Bury the platypus!
Damn, that was that. Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, no clue who that is.
From Phineas and Ferb. He's the, he's the Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
So what are you, I forget what the word is that you used. Are you dressing up?
I don't think so. Like, I don't know what I would go as. But we will be in LA for a couple of days with Batan, so we could shop for something. If we
I'm leave. Going as me.
Here goes you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no I could go.
Else, no could, one else will be in that costume.
That's true. I could go as a runner. I could just bring my bib, bring my running bib from the Saturday mm-hmm. race. I'm dressed up like a runner.
I'm sure somebody will do that.
Oh, no, people do. Yeah, people dress up for the Halloween parties here, too. I just, like, I do Dapper Day and stuff, which is
But you're not allowed to dress up as a Disney character. You have to...
At the Halloween parties, they relax some of the costuming. Because it's an after-hours event, it's a separate ticketed event, and they relax some of their costuming rules.
I see.
But, yeah, a lot of people are into Disney bounding. You'll see that in the parks, just in general. Yeah, runner would be easy. You could do runner. I could be a balloon lady. Yeah, because I just have to get a balloon. So I'd wear my bib and whatever, and then just have a balloon, a Mickey balloon tied to me. Yeah, there you go. A balloon lady. Do you wanna be a balloon lady as well?
No.
I mean, I'm not gonna be,
I don't wanna dress up.
Not gonna be in drag. No, it'll be running shorts and a running shirt with a bib. We'll get you Zach's bib because he won't be there.
I don't know. I'll think about it. Nico now really wants to see Daniel in a dress.
Oh, you know what? I'll do that. I'll get one of those tutus at the expo, like those running tutus or whatever, and I'll wear a running tutu and carry a balloon. There you go. I'm not going to shave or anything. I'm not going to shave my beard. So I'll be a balloon lady.
Bearded balloon lady.
That's right. Bearded drag, bearded balloon lady. So I'm going to be a bearded balloon lady, which is a completely unpredictable costume. And by that, I mean completely predictable. That's, by the way, is a Doofenshmirtz line. So in the show Phineas and Ferb, Dr. Doofenshmirtz is the head of Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated. Evil Incorporated, and they have every time that they play, you know, they show his building, they play his jingle. So it's this.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
But over sometimes in the episode, they'll do variations on that. So there's like a whole YouTube variations of that. So it would be.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
So that's the regular
Doofenshmirtz
one.
Evil, Doofenshmirtz Illumin inside it. Doofenshmirtz Evil Annex. Doofenshmirtz Abandoned Vacuum Cleaner Factory.
It's a very good show. Here's the other thing. Dan Povenmire goes to like Disney all the time. And so it's like the creator and the voice of Dr. Doofenshmirtz. Like he might
be
there.
Is that the one who there was some interview where he went through a ride, but and his And he was telling his kids that I voiced.
Yes, that was a voice actor from a panel at D23 one year. Yeah, he was like, "Yeah, I voiced Scuttle and I went on it, and then the security like took my camera because he's like, but I voiced Scuttle, and it's like they don't care. You're under an NDA. You can't have video." Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, we'll see. I'll think about it. But
also, Nico says that he'll do the bib. If you're not going to do it.
Skull shirts. Halloween themed shirts like skull shirts.
Yeah.
I could go as a DC character.
Okay. Like what?
Superman.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I don't know. No, I don't know.
So I'll probably just, I don't know if you remember this or not. The VP of Kellogg's said something like they raised their prices across the board, like 25%. And in an interview, he was just like going like, cause we want to make more money and, you know, it's raising cereal prices is not going to really affect anyway. It was just this really ballsy way of just by going, yeah, we raised the prices because we wanted to make more money. That's the only reason. We just decided to, you know, fuck you. We want to make more money. And so at the time I was just like, fuck you, Kellogg's. I'm not going to buy anything from you. Fuck you. I don't care. I didn't care because there was nothing that Kellogg's made that I really cared about. Except Pop-Tarts. They make Pop-Tarts. So I was like, there have been so many times that I've been in Wawa or something and I've seen the little package of Pop-Tarts in there and I wanted to get it. And I'm like, no, fuck you, Kellogg's. I'm not going to get it. And instead I'd get like a snack cake or something else, right? The other day, miracle upon miracle, Kellogg's sold that division of Kellogg's to the Mars Candy Company. So now Pop-Tarts are owned by Mars, which means I can once again have Pop-Tarts, which is why I bought them at Cass Connection today for 55 cents. So,
but are they still at the higher price that Kellogg's raised the price to? Because you're still paying, well, not at the Disney store, you're not.
No, I'm paying 55 cents.
To a regular store, you would still be potentially paying the, you know.
The other thing, oh, I forget. This is the other thing they had. They have Uncrustables. Guess how much an Uncrustable is at Cass Connection.
Well, I don't know how much an Uncrustable is, like, normally. Can you tell me? And are these singular Uncrustables, or is it a box of Uncrustables?
Is a singular, they're price singular. They're single. I'm going to go onto the Walmart website because I have a Walmart grocery account here. And I'm going to just type in, what was the question? What are the items that I'm looking for?
What do they cost?
No, but what are Uncrustables. I was trying to remember what I was going to type in.
Said it.
I know, but I was going to type in Pop-Tarts and I was like, wait, we weren't talking about and Uncrustables. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter, jelly time. Peanut butter, jelly time. A single. That cannot possibly be correct. On the Walmart website, it's saying $142.09 for a 60 per case. So that's a case. So we have to do some math here. So the Uncrustable peanut butter and grape jelly sandwich at Walmart, 60 per case. So 60 of them cost $142.
Is it 60 boxes or 60 sandwiches, 60 Uncrustables?
Uncrustables, butter, they're 2 ounces each, and they're 60 per case. So
I did the math. It was $2.37.
That sounds right.
But I didn't know they sold them singularly.
Yeah, they do at Disney. But they do sell them singularly over in the snack area of Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Where you would also find like the little sausage and cheese and, you know, those kind of things. You would find like a turkey sandwich and maybe a chicken salad sandwich. You know, that whole area they're like at Walmart. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, like the pre-prepared.
Yes.
Food, yes. Items.
And yes. Walmart sells the case of them because parents love to just throw these in their kids' lunchbox because they're basically just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no crust, right? So they're a smushed mm-hmm. together peanut butter and jelly. Anyway, they're 29 cents at Cast Connection. So 29 cents.
I wonder
cents.
What they do with the crusts in that factory, or do they somehow figure out a way to make crustless bread?
Well, yeah.
Because... It's going to be, there's going to be crust.
Right.
Because
the crust outside can of go the bread. Off, the crust can go off to make, you know, breadcrumbs and croutons, whereas the gooey center part is then made into uncrustable. Sure.
I mean, you know, they found some use for it because they do not waste.
Fuels you know. Or maybe they sell it to
throwing
their,
away.
Maybe they sell it to their employees really cheaply. At Cast Connections.
Could you make bread with no crust? I maybe it's if they steam it, if they make like a steam bun sort of situation.
Like a bao bun
sort of thing.
That doesn't really have a crust. Yeah.
So maybe they've come up with some bao hybrid that
I mean, the crust is just formed from baking it at a high temperature, right? It's like if you were to cook the bread lower and slower. By the way, fuck you for getting me all paranoid about my ground beef hamburgers all this week with your like.
Yeah, you're not ever supposed to have ground beef.
You're not.
Where you'll die.
Why? You're not. Like that is. I'm sorry. Like
you'll
sorry
die.
That you've been ignorantly bliss. Ignorantly within bliss. In the production of Uncrustables, the popular pre-made crustless sandwiches, the bread crusts that are removed during the manufacturing process are typically not wasted. Here are some common practices that companies might employ to deal with bread crusts. Recycling into animal feed.
Oh, that's a good one.
Recycling into other products. Some factories may process the bread crusts into crumbs.
Bread crumbs.
Or meal that can be used in other food products, like breadcrumbs for coating, stuffing, or even in some industrial baking processes.
And I helped.
Composting. If the crusts are not suitable for food use, they may be composted. This allows them to be broken down in nutrient-rich material. Waste to energy. In some cases, bread crusts might be sent to facilities where they are converted into bioenergy.
Biodiesel, yeah.
I'm wondering if, though, this is a hallucination. Like, ChatGPT probably doesn't know specifically what the Uncrustable factory does with their crust.
That's true. Yeah.
So it probably just gave me some generic bullshit answer.
They're just saying, in general, you can do this.
In general, in factories.
I feel like a science teacher a long time ago told me that they put sawdust in bread. Like to give it more fiber. I didn't know if that was true or not. A teacher told me it, so I believe it.
Well,
but I now realize
I don't think they add actual sawdust, but I think there are things like cellulose or like other things that get added to stuff.
I just feel
I don't think they literally put wood shavings.
I feel like now that I'm older, I realize that those teachers didn't know shit. They were just talking off their ass, you know what I'm saying? They're just podcasters. Oh, yeah, they put sawdust in bread, you know? It's just like, no, sir, they don't. They really don't.
So they say things really confidently that they may not know.
They are like 20, they're like 2010 Daniel.
Yeah.
They are like 2010 Daniel. Before I knew everything, in which case, you know, now I don't have that problem because I do know everything. Yeah. So, teachers say the darndest things.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Those darn teachers. All right. Well, I'm going to go eat my Pop-Tart.
You've probably been dreaming about that Pop-Tart for the past 30, 45 minutes.
I have. have been thinking about.
Like, oh my God, I have that 55-cent Pop-Tart in the pantry. Was it a whole box for 55 cents?
No, it's two. It's the two. It's the little pack of two for 55 cents.
I feel like 55 cents is a little bit expensive for
If you walk into any Come and Go or Wawa or whatever, they will sell you the little two-pack of Pop-Tarts for like $3.99.
Oh. I don't know how much things cost. I would have assumed that a whole box of Pop-Tarts would be $3. What do they sell a box of Pop? Oh, if only I had a way.
There was a thing. Oh, Street Rat is here. Hello, Nick. I was mentioned your name this evening.
Pop-Tarts.
How much is it? Let's see. Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, a whole box is $4.88. And you're paying $3 for two?
No.
A box has 16 in it.
Wait, I said 55 cents. Where did you get $3?
No. At the Wawa and the Come and Go, you're paying $3 for two. Whereas if you bought a whole pack from the grocery store.
Well, yeah, that's why it's called a convenience store. Because
And if you buy the Great Value brand, you can get a whole box of 12.
Okay, maybe they're $1.99. Maybe they're $1.99 for two. I don't know, Adam. I'm just saying they're not. They don't sell the boxes at Wawa because it's a convenience store. Like if you were to buy a loaf of bread at Wawa, it's going to be like $10 or something. It's a convenience store.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
So I know this happens. I know this happens, but. Recently, because I buy a lot of Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Racist.
And I think I've talked about this, but I buy a lot of Diet Mountain Dew. And
racist.
I don't know why drinking Diet Mountain Dew makes me racist, but
It's a J.D. Vance speech. Just go ahead.
So I know he likes Diet Mountain Dew, but that doesn't mean everybody who likes Diet. Anyway, so six count.
Uh-huh.
20-ounce bottles.
Yes.
Are selling for $5 and something.
Oh, wow.
Inflation, man, I'm telling you. But they have a 12-pack now.
Yeah. It's cheaper.
That's $6.
Right, so it's cheaper.
So it's like half the price.
Right.
And I know this is a thing, but they didn't have this size before, and they didn't have it, right. But they're always sold out.
Yeah, because it's a great deal.
So, and when I first moved here 13 years ago, I used to get a 6-pack of Diet Mountain Dew for $3.
Yeah.
And it's now $5.50 or whatever. It has gone up so much.
That's what drives me crazy about these Republicans. They're just like going like, oh, things are more expensive than they were 4 years ago. Bread used to cost 39 cents. And now it's like things get more expensive over time. It's like I want to go back to when Trump was president, when everything was cheap. It's like, you mean when we were all locked inside at COVID and gas was really cheap because no one drove anywhere? Yeah, let's go back to that. That's great. Let's do that.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. I need to go so I can eat my Pop-Tart.
All right. I'm going to shut down the stream. Anyone listening on the stream, you're not going to hear us anymore. You're going to hear some other podcast. It's going to be very confusing and jarring because it's just going to switch to another podcast.
Flip off. Good night, chat room. Also, thank you. I know you just showed up, Nick, but good night. we should do something soon.
Thanks, Kathy.
Zach is double working right now because of training at Disney, but that will sort itself out in the next month or so. So we should do something. Anyway, all right, good night, Kathy Marshall. Good night, Lamont Cranston, who I think is asleep. Good night, Tim in Alaska. Good night, Nick. And good night, me. Bye.